Let me say, you all have done a fantastic job remodeling your auditorium. It's good to see all your smiling faces here this morning. Put a smile on. It's the Lord's Day.
Amen.
We've got much to be happy about. Amen. Probably you heard the story, I don't know. Our shop superintendent had one hanging in his office. He said, cheer up and smile. Things could get worse. Sure enough, I cheered up and smiled. Things got worse. You heard this story, I'm sure. Of course, this is primarily for preachers. Little boy asked his mother, he said, Mom, how high have you ever counted? She said, well, son, I don't know. I never thought about it. How high have you counted? He said, 3,574. She said, my, that's a lot of counting. She said, how come you to stop on that number? He said, church was over. So it goes to convince us preachers that everybody's not listening. Some people possibly are counting. It's always good to see Brother Don Davis, a very good friend of mine, and I see he brought his daughter with him again. I'm always glad to see Brother Don. We've known each other for years. And my wife and I are always happy to have an invitation to fill Brother Tom's pulpit. We think he's a very fine man, a very fine preacher, and we just love him, and we love his wife, and don't tell him I said that, but it's always an honor and a pleasure to fill his pulpit. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, open them to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. This morning I want to bring a message on the fact that if I'm dreaming, let me keep on dreaming. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. The whole gospel is wrapped up in these first four or five verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Shall we bow our heads? Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this another Lord's Day that you've made and given unto us. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be in your house together with your people to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, for the many blessings that it has provided for us in our lifetime, to know that our sins are forgiven, that our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have a place reserved for us in your glorious presence to spend all eternity. Father, we pray today that we would be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and that if there's someone here that doesn't know you as personal Savior, that this would be their day of salvation.
Yes, sir.
Father, may the Holy Spirit touch their heart, convict them of their sins, and cause them to realize that they're lost, that they need to be saved.
That's right.
Get glory to your name through our services today, for we ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
As I said a moment ago, if I'm dreaming, don't wake me up, for I like it the way it is. As one man has said, if there's no heaven to gain, I wouldn't trade places with what I've had in the years of my life. Yes, if I'm wrong, If heaven's not real, salvation's not genuine, I still wouldn't trade what I've got today. My friend, today, are we really dreaming, or is Christ real? To the lost world outside, we're living in a dream world. They say, well, you don't really believe the Bible. You don't believe in Jesus Christ and all of that stuff. You don't really accept all of that, do you? Friend, yes, I do. I know that He's alive because He lives within my heart. I know that Christ came some 2,000 years ago, died on the cross for my sins, that I, through Him, could have everlasting life. Yes, my friend, as I've said, many people say that we're dreaming, that we're living in a dream world, that there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no hereafter. We're just like an animal. We just die and that's the end of it. Friend, I'm here to tell you, there is a hereafter. There's an eternity.
That's right.
That you're going to spend in one of two destinations. You can either spend it with the Lord in heaven, or you can spend it with Satan and his angels in a place called the lake of fire.
That's right.
The decision is yours. The choice is yours. The gift is yours. It's all yours for the accepting. All you have to do is accept it today. Are we just dreaming when we preach and teach about Christ and salvation and the Christian life, heaven and hell, and things of that nature? As I said a moment ago, we realize today that much of the world believes that this is just the end, right here. When you die, it's all over. But oh, my friend, what a shock they've got waiting on them to realize that there is a hereafter, and those that die without Christ, friend, they won't be dead 5 seconds until they'll realize that I needed to trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I need to settle the question of eternal salvation with Jesus Christ. Yes, they won't be in the lake of fire 5 minutes until they wish that they had another opportunity, like the rich man in the Bible that died and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he might tell my 5 brothers that they don't come to this awful place. Yes, my friend, the Bible says there's weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth.
That's right.
There's eternal punishment.
That's right.
For those that die without Jesus Christ. But today, we want to look at a few things that are real, things that you and I can put our faith and our trust in to know that according to the Bible, they're real. Friend, this is the greatest book that was ever written.
Amen.
Many people look to the government. Many people look to Congress. Many people look to others. But this is the book that tells us that we were sinners by nature. As David said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We're sinners by choice. We're sinners by nature. We need salvation. And God sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross, that people like you and I might have the gift of eternal life. But let's look at some things today that we can say that are real. God is real.
That's right.
Psalms 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. My friend, I ask you today, if God's not real, who created this place? Scientists say today that we're a spark off of the sun, and we rotated out in space for a certain period of time until we became round and we became the earth. Friend, that might be true. I don't know. But one thing I do know, God put it just exactly where it needed to be.
That's right, amen.
It's funny, isn't it, that it stopped exactly where it needed to be. If we were a few inches farther one way, we would burn up. If we were a few inches back the other way, we would freeze to death. Strange, isn't it, that God allowed that ball of fire to stop exactly where it's at, that you and I might live in the joy and the presence of God. Yes, He's real today. Who brings the sun up? Who allows the moon to shine? Who put the stars in the heaven? Who planted all the trees and the flowers? Who created all of this that you and I enjoy today? This earth that we live upon, the beauty that our eyes behold when we're outside, when we look around on a starlit night, that we can stand and look up and look at the countless number of stars and think that God knows them all by name, and He put them all where they wanted to be, needed to be. People say, oh, well, I saw a shooting star. No, my friend, you saw a meteor. Stars don't move. They're right where God placed them, and they'll be there all eternity. Yes, God's real today.
That's right.
Just as real as you and I are sitting here in the First Baptist Church of Greenup, Kentucky.
Amen.
Yes, He's real today. Christ is real. Simon Peter gave us the best definition of Him when he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes, Jesus is real today. The Bible says in John's Gospel, the first few verses, in the beginning was the Word was with God. Excuse me, and the Word was God. The Bible says He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. People say today, well, the Romans killed Him. The Gentiles killed Him. The Jews killed Him. Friend, the Bible teaches us that God killed His own Son. He clothed the world in darkness because He couldn't look upon sin. And in those moments, Jesus Christ became sin for you and I that knew no sin, that He might pay the price that we could have eternal life. Yes, Christ is real. He was born as a babe in the manger of Bethlehem. He walked upon the earth as the face of man. He was tried as you and I are tried. He was tempted as you and I are tempted. But above all of that, He proved victorious. He lived without sin, without spot, without blemish. He was the perfect sacrifice, the only person that could die on the cross and pay our sin debt was Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You and I might die. We might pour out our blood. We might give our life as a sacrifice, but what good would it be? We're sinners. We're sinners after Adam's nature. We can't help it. We were born that way. You don't need to teach a child a lie. They come by it honest. All you have to do is watch them. They don't need to be taught. They come by it, as I say, honestly. And yet today, people say, oh, well, I believe you can do the best you can. If you're honest, if you're sincere, all of that, you'll get to heaven. Friend, let me tell you, the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Christ said, I
Amen.
Am the door.
That's right.
The Bible says in John, the 14th chapter, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me.
Amen.
Oh, my friend. There's only one way into heaven. You can't buy your way. You heard the story about the Scotsman that died, or the Jew that died. He was laying in the casket. People were passing by, pay their last respect. On top of his eyes, he had $2 silver. The Scotsman walked up and he said, what's the silver dollars for? They said, well, that's to pay his way across Jordan. The Scotsman reached and got the silver dollars and said, I hope he can swim. You took an offering a while ago. You heard the story about the church where the Jew and the Scotchman came together, but they always came in after the offering plate had been passed. So one day the pastor decided to change things around. So after they came in and sat down, he said, "We'll now take the offering." And as they started taking it, the Jew passed out and the Scotchman carried him out. Oh, my friend, Jesus is real today. He's alive today. He sits on the right hand of God the Father, making intercessions for you and I. Yes, He's real today. The Holy Spirit's real today. Before Jesus went back to heaven, He said, "I'm going back. I'm going to leave you, but I won't leave you comfortless. I'll send the Holy Spirit. He'll be in you and about you and around you. He'll be with you every step you take." Isn't it wonderful today to know that He lives within our heart, that we have the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us, to teach us, to mold us and to make us and to shape us into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ? I appreciated Anita's song a minute ago, but I like the song, "He's Still Working on Me." Yes, my friend, part of the job of the Holy Spirit is to make us like the Son of God. Yes, He's still working on me. He's got a lot of work to do. But friend, thank God He's working. He's grinding and sanding and He's molding and making me into the likeness of the Lord Jesus. As Jesus said to Philip that day in the 14th chapter of the book of John, "He that has seen me has seen the Father," which would convince us that He was God in the flesh.
That's right.
He was no less God than He was man.
Amen.
And He was no more man than He was God. But He said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." You know, I'd like to think that about myself. And when people see me, they can see Jesus. Yes, and my life is molded and patterned after the life of Christ. But the Holy Spirit's real today. He said, "I'll send Him, the Holy Spirit. He will comfort, sustain, and guide you forever." Isn't it wonderful today as Christians to have something living inside of us that when we start to do something wrong, He said, "No, no, no, you shouldn't do that. No, no, turn away from that. No, no, abstain from that." Yes, the lady told the pastor one time that she was having a birthday party for her children. And she said, "They'll be dancing." The preacher said, "Well, I don't know that that's right." She said, "Oh, well, we'll pull the blinds." Well, isn't it strange that God can see through the roof of your house? You can't hide nothing from God.
That's right.
You can't hide it from the Holy Spirit. You know the very minute you've done wrong, and you know that you need to confess it and abstain from it. Turn your back upon it. Walk away from it. Oh, yes, the Holy Spirit's alive today, and He makes intercessions. He carries our prayers to the throne of God, telling Him what our heart's desire is, what we're praying for, what we're pleading for. Yes, He's alive today. He's the third part of the Godhead. He's alive and well. Yes. Satan's real today. I don't need to tell you the battle you have with him every day. As soon as we become Christians, the battle begins, don't it? The minute you're saved, Satan begins to do his work in your life. He comes along and says, "Well, you know, one little drink won't hurt. Well, go ahead, everybody else is. Go ahead and do it. Well, one little curse word won't hurt. Go ahead. Don't let it bother you. Don't let it upset you." Satan comes to us time and time again. As I've said, you don't need to invite Satan to church. He's already here. He came in before you did. He was here before anybody else was. He's always in church. Because let's look around. There's always somebody that says what? Well, it was too hot in there today. Well, it was too cold. I can remember. And I'm sure Missy can. Bless her heart, she done a good job with these puppets. And that's kind of a hard act to follow. But I had a lady that was a member of the Workman Church when I was pastor up there. One of the vents of the heater and air conditioner was back there in the back corner. And she sat on the very back row in the very back seat, right by that vent. Ruby Miller, bless her heart, was our custodian. And in the wintertime, every time she went out, "That Ruby's burning me up." I said, "Well, why don't you move? Move into the middle of the road. Move up a little. That's my seat back there, and I'm going to sit there." I said, "Well, all right." And in the summertime, when she'd go out, "That Ruby's freezing me to death." I said, "Well, bring a sweater and put it on. I don't want to. It's hot." I thought, oh, my stars. You know, Don, I tell you, preachers, in a sense, have a hard life. I know one time when I was pastor at Workman, it happened to be Easter Sunday. And this lady had a hat on. Oh. You know, we're supposed to be honest. And as she went out the door, she said, "How do you like my new hat?" And I thought, "Lady, if it was mine, I'd bury it." But I couldn't tell her that. And I said, "Well, it looks nice on you." What else was I to say? But don't you see? We're tempted on every hand. Satan's alive and well. Salvation is real today. Ask Paul if salvation is real. He'll tell you yes. I was on the Damascus Road. Suddenly out of nowhere a bright light shined. I fell off of my animal, and I was temporarily blind. And I heard a voice saying unto me, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" You know what? The Bible doesn't say this, but it's one of my personal beliefs. I'll tell you another one of my personal beliefs, and I'm going to try not to fall off. But I'll tell you another one of my personal beliefs. You remember when Jesus told Peter that the rooster would crow 3 times and you deny me 3 times? I think that the only 2 people in that garden that night that heard that rooster was Jesus and Peter. Jesus told Peter. Peter said, "Oh, Lord, I'll die with you." Jesus said, "Peter, before the cock crows tonight, you'll deny me 3 times. Not me, Lord. These other people might, but you don't need to worry about me." Yet I believe that that night in that garden, when that rooster crowed that 3rd time, Jesus, the Bible says, "Look at Peter." Peter went out and wept bitterly. He remembered the words of the Lord. Boy, you know, it's not hard to give a testimony to church. People stand up and say, "Oh, I love the Lord," and so forth and so on. It's not hard in there. It's hard outside. That's where the people see you. That's the reason the Bible says that your own family is the hardest to win. As I told the church a few weeks ago, I can remember when I was working, and I'd had one of those days that you don't like. I'd gone all day long. I was tired, I was weary, I was wore out. I got home and sat down in my easy chair, and the phone rang. My wife said, "Honey, they want you on the phone." And I said, "Tell them I'm not here." She told him something, hung up. My son was about 10 years old. He came to me and he said, "Daddy, you just told a lie." Oh, me. It felt like a dagger in my heart. I said, "Yes, son, I did. Told a lie. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to be honest. I'm supposed to be truthful. I'll ask your forgiveness. I'll ask the Lord to forgive me. I promise, to the best of my ability, I won't do it again." He turned and walked away. How often I've thought about that. Yes, it shows how easy it is for Satan to slip in. Just when we least expect it, when we think everything's going our way, everything's the way I'd like for it to be, Satan slips in. As I was saying, if you ask Paul, if salvation is real, he'll tell you what it says in 2 Timothy, the first chapter. "I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercessions for me."
Amen.
I ask you today, what did you commit to? Oh, I gave him my money like he needed. The Bible says the cattle on 1,000 hills is his.
That's right.
10,000 rivers of oil is his. He don't need your money. Well, I gave him this and I gave him that. Did you give him your soul? That's what he wants. Paul said, "I'm persuaded that which I've committed unto him, I gave him my soul in simple childlike faith, trusting what he done at Calvary for my salvation. That's what I gave him." Friend, it's responsible for him to keep. I gave it to him. It's his to keep. I used to have a friend of mine, he's passed on now. And I guess he had a considerable amount of money. And in the last couple of years of his life, he developed some mental problems. He'd go down to the First and People's Bank in Russell every day. "Is my money in there?" "Yes, it is." "You're sure it's safe?" "Yes, it is." "I could get it if I wanted it." "Yes, sir, you can." "Now, you're sure it's back there?" "Yes, sir, we're sure." And every day, he'd go down with the same questions. "Yes, sir, it's in the vault. It's safe." "You're sure enough? Now, if I wanted it, I could get it." "Yes, sir, you could have it today, if you wanted it." Friend, I committed my soul to the Lord. It's in his keeping. He's responsible for it now, for I gave it to him. Oh, yes. Paul, is salvation real? Yes, it is. I used to persecute the church, but I don't do it anymore. I stand and preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Yes, it's real. last of all this morning. Heaven and hell are real. Beyond this life, there's another life. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Makes no difference how many good works you've done. Makes no difference how much you've given to the church. Makes no difference how much you have. No. There's life after death. And there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. According to God's word, heaven is a real place. Jesus is going to be there, and real people are going to be there. Yes, I thank the Lord that my mother and dad are already up there. They knew the Lord as their personal Savior. Heaven's real today. How often have you been in a funeral home? Someone passes away. Somebody comes up, pats him on the hand, pats him on the forehead, said, I'll be up there with you soon. Oh, yes. Heaven's real today. Just as real as anything you know. There's people up there, the redeemed of all ages, who gathered together up there. One of these days, as has been said thousands of times, there's going to be a great reunion day when all of us that are saved get to heaven. You know, I heard a man last night on the television make this statement. And I thought about it after he made it. He said, I can't wait to get to heaven. And how surprised I'll be when I see people there that I never thought would make it. And my friend, there's a lot of truth to that. There's some people that you think will be there. They won't be there. Oh, they've lived a good life. They've set a good example. They went to church. They owned the Bible. But they didn't believe what the Bible said. Yes, heaven's real today. My plea to you is, don't miss it. Don't be in such a hurry to get everything done that you forget about your eternity. Hell's real today. Satan's going to be there. Real people are going to be there likewise. Yes, as one preacher said, if you could pull back the curtains of hell for 5 seconds and look in there, you'd be the greatest missionary world has ever seen. And that's probably true. It's real, buddy. So I say in closing, the choice is yours. If you're here today and you're not saved, all of these things that I've told you, they're real. God sits on the throne. Christ is at his right hand. The Holy Spirit lives within the hearts of people that have been born again by the grace of God. Satan's real. If you don't think he is, and you don't know the Lord this morning, say in your heart, I'm going to step out. If you don't think Satan's real, find out how hard it is to make that first step. Oh, my friend, he'll say, oh, you've got too much to give up. You're too young. There'll always be churches. There'll always be an opportunity to be saved. Don't do it today. Think what you're sacrificing.
Friend, think what you're giving up, an eternity in the glories of heaven with the redeemed of all ages in the presence of Jesus Christ. Yes, if you're lost today, don't go out of this building that way, but go out with Jesus. Shall we bow our heads? Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we know that you're real. Father, we know that the many prayers that we have offered that have been answered, somebody called Jesus is interceding in our behalf to answer our prayers, to grant the desires of our heart. Oh, yes, today we thank you for the salvation that we have and what Jesus paid for us. Father, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as personal Savior, may today be the day of their salvation. May they let go and let God have his way. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand and sing, what number?
492.
So we stand together as we sing. I know I'm not the pastor of this church, but if you're lost today, don't put it off another minute. Don't put it off another day. You don't know what a day holds. Trust Him today. Make that decision today. You have Christ in your heart. Remember your pastor in this revival. Pray for him daily that many would come to know the Lord through the preaching of the gospel. Brother Don, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer?
Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this powerful message and that Brother Bill brought to us, Lord, and to me, anyone that in this house that doesn't know you, Lord, and Lord, it's out of your fold, Lord. Lord, touch their hearts, and may they come giving their life to you and come become a member of the heavenly body, Lord. And watch over Bill's